Blog Talk Radio.
This is Ed Morrissey from Captain's Quarters, and I am speaking this afternoon with Myrna Blythe. Ms. Blythe is a New York Times bestselling author, and she has written a new book along with Chris Winston, a former White House speechwriter, called How to Erase an American, 1,776 Fun and Easy Tools, Tips, and Activities to Help Your Child Love This Country. Ms. Blythe, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us why you saw a need for a book to help parents raise patriotic children.
Well, I think both my co-author and I felt that it was more difficult today to raise children who are patriotic. And in fact, a recent poll taken by the Winston Group in Washington found that while over 97% of Americans think feel patriotic, 70% agree that it is that children today are less patriotic than children were in the past. And there are lots of reasons for this, we discovered. We thought this instinctively. Most people think that as well. But we found it is difficult to raise patriotic kids because of the way the little history they're taught, the way they are taught history, the influence of the media, and many reasons like that which do impact kids while there's no counterbalance, especially from parents, teaching them to love this country.
Your book quotes a study which I think is really interesting. It said that 95% of Americans over the age of 30 prefer to live here than abroad, but 25% of children want to live somewhere else.
Oh, under 30, almost 25% said they'd live somewhere else if they could. Another study, a Time magazine study, found that 13-year-olds did not think America was going to be as good a place when they are their parents' age as it is today. And another poll, and all these things really do show that kids are not feeling as patriotic. 80% in a Scholastic magazine poll, 80% of kids said they didn't want to grow up to be president. Now, becoming president was once sort of part of the American dream. Anyone could be president. These kids were confident. They felt they could be president. They just didn't want to be. They just weren't interested in being the most powerful person in the world.
What do you think drives this? Is it, I mean, you talk about a lack of historical literacy in American children. Do you think that is the root cause of most of this?
Well, they learn very little history. In fact, the last time a history test was taken in this country, across the country, it found that kids seemed to know less and less history as they got older, that only about 12% were proficient in the questions in American history. And even there's another study that was done of top college students from our top colleges. A very simple history test was given to them, and an overwhelming amount would have gotten a D or failed, a C or D on it. They knew very little. They didn't know when the Battle of the Bulge was fought. They didn't know really anything about our history. So, no, they don't know much history. But when they learn history, when it is taught to them, it's taught in a very peculiar way today. Often kids hear more about what America has done wrong or what's wrong with America before they're told what's right about America.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think one of the things that there seems to be over the last a couple of generations, really, a sense that American education has really gotten off the rails. I mean, we've seen on the Tonight Show, Jay Leno does a fabulous recurring segment about once a week or so of these men on the street interviews, where he asks some really basic questions about history, geography, and he then highlights the very strange and terribly wrong answers he gets. I mean, is this a part of just a complete breakdown in the educational system altogether,
history? Well, they really don't. In fact, there are some wonderful bloopers. There are some college professors who put together a series of things that have been on tests of college students who say things like Christopher Columbus sailed on the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Fe, or that my favorite, the Carter administration had to deal with the Iran hostess crisis, or there would be no problem at all in the Middle East today if the the West Bank would lend more money to the Arabs, and if the Palace Indians were not so troublesome. I mean, you can laugh until you weep about it. No, they learn very little, and the way it's taught, it is taught in a way so that we emphasize what's wrong. We hear that every culture is wonderful except America or the European culture that much of our ideas are based on. So, yes, kids learn very little, and they learn it in a way that does not encourage their patriotism. Certainly there are teachers who are patriotic. Certainly, I'm not saying this is everywhere, but you know, I spoke to a young man who goes to a really terrific public school in New York. He had had 2 years of history, and when I asked him about civics, he literally did not know what the word civics meant. And this is an example of public education, and certainly no interest at all in teaching kids how to become better citizens.
Now, you were the longtime editor-in-chief of Ladies' Home Journal.
That's right.
And, that's a piece of Americana right there, Ladies' Home Journal.
Yes.
Did you see this trend developing as the editor-in-chief of that magazine, or did you see a fall-off of people who wanted to know more about American history, or who knew more about American history?
I think you see that an increased concern not with our heroes, but with our victims. Can I say, looking across American history, you tend to see it as a victim-first story instead of a story of the heroes. You tend to see more written about again, what we've done wrong. For example, my co-author, Chris Winston, took a look at her son's own textbook. He was a high school student at the time, and she was kind of amazed that, for example, there was over 1,000 words about Iran-Contra and like 83 words about the landing on the moon, 333 words about Steven Spielberg, but as I say, just very few words about Neil Armstrong and the great accomplishment. So we tend to de-emphasize positive things. We tend not to see our past leaders, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, as heroes, but often as kind of flawed and neurotic people. Also, there are some textbooks that are really amazing that are used in the schools, in the sense Howard Zinn's The People History of the United States, which is totally history. Well, the version of that I read was a library copy, and at the end, somebody had written into it, just a kid, "I get it. He's a communist." Well, he got it. But at the same time, lots of kids are getting Zinn's view of American history, which is a very negative, dark view of the achievements of our country.
Well, you mentioned Steven Spielberg, and that kind of brings me to my next question about the media virus and how that impacts the esteem that children have for America. You mentioned, I'm using the media virus. That is actually your construct in the book. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, we talk, media is very, very influential on kids. In fact, I just saw a poll of college students that was done by Family Matters, I think, which said that media was the number one influence on political thinking of college students. Well, the media has a very, very negative view of America. We hear American bashing all the time, and it affects adults. Can you imagine how it would affect kids if all they hear is Jon Stewart's cynicism and you know, a constant bashing. Now, that doesn't mean America shouldn't be criticized, and that's not what we're talking about. But we're talking about when there is such bashing as there is, say, at the moment, that the president is not seen as – you can dislike George Bush's policies, but we should respect the president. But that seems to have totally eroded. And so kids from media, from news, from movies, from music – hear nothing but criticism. Really difficult for there to be a positive view of America. And in the book, remember, as much as we explain why it is difficult to raise an American, at the same time we give lots of ideas. Yes, more than 1,776 ways to help your kids really learn to love this country. And in media, there are movies you should watch as a family. We give a list of 100. There is music you can listen to. There are websites to go on with kids. And even making kids aware of media bias. Let's take a story. How do you think this could be written a different way? There are many, many things you can do. You know, in the book, we talk about how kids spend hours a week playing soccer, and that's fine, and taking taking dancing lessons or playing video games. Well, they're not going to grow up to be soccer players, probably. They are going to grow up to be Americans. And so it's important for parents to consider this, think about it, and spend some time each week, not a great deal, maybe an hour a week, you know, teaching them about their country, their history, and their responsibility as Americans.
You know, I didn't travel to Washington, D.C. until I was 42 years old. My parents would take us on family trips throughout California, though, and we'd visit many historical sites. We got a very good sense of what, you know, it was to be California, also what it was like to be American. We went to various different places. But I thought Washington, D.C. was a fascinating town to visit. It's turned out to be one of my favorite cities.
Right.
And I'm kind of sorry that I didn't go there before I was 42 years old.
A personal thing. My husband was just looking through old photographs, and we just found a photograph of my older son at 13 standing in front of the White House making V for victory, you know, that he wanted to use as his, I guess, grade school picture for his yearbook. And my son, it does work for the State Department, did go to Washington. You know, this was very important to him. But even the trips you remember with your parents, I mean, this is it. Kids really do want to do things with their parents. And if you say, let's go see a historical site, and there are many in California, or even a local site, a museum. You know, there are hundreds and hundreds. We picked five sites in each state, but there are many more than that. The National Park Service, you just have to go on their website and you find a place locally. And kids want to be with their parents. And sure, they may complain a little. And, of course, you have to give them a good lunch. And sure, you have to get them something from the souvenir shop. My kids used to go to the souvenir shop before they went to the museum. But you know, that's fine. You know, yes, media has a great influence. The news has a great influence. But parents have the greatest influence on kids. And they should just use that influence. And they're using their influence in a way. You know, our enemies abroad are spending a lot of money and a lot of thought in teaching their children what they want them to believe. And in a way, we're not spending any time at all to teach our children the wonderful story of America. And the reason they have so many opportunities is because they're Americans. Most kids don't connect that at all, and they really should learn to connect that.
Do you think that parents just don't have an idea about how American history is being taught in the schools? They're just assuming that the school is covering this topic well?
I think that's true. And you know, people are very busy. I don't doubt that. And you know, many couples both work, and they're, you know, you have several kids. But at the same time, I don't think so. My co-author had never read her son's history book, which she said she was very sorry. She'd advise everyone, read along. There's other books you can buy to counterbalance what you may not like in the history book. Go and check out the history program. In the book, we give a list of questions you can ask about the history program in your school. Ways to talk to the teacher about it. No, it's not easy, and you don't want to confront, and you don't want to be difficult, but you're involved in so many other aspects of your child's life. Being involved the way they learn about America, it is important too.
In the book, I'm sorry, you talk about Patriot Projects, which I think is really fun. I took a quick look through that section there, and these projects sound like fun, you know, fairly simple things to do. Talk about a couple of your favorites.
Oh, there are so many things you can do. We were awed ourselves. The web, well, if you say we're going to spend an hour a week doing this, well, the hour could be spent watching a movie. That's fine if you want to watch a movie together, have popcorn, talk about it with older kids, even some of Spielberg's, you know, Band of Brothers or Saving Private Ryan. This would be with teenagers. Read a book along with the kids, and there are dozens and dozens and dozens of wonderful books about America, whether it's for little girls, the American Girl books, the Felicity books, and there's so many other games, and there's craft projects. You can do a craft project that a colonial girl could do. But most of all, there's the web. I mean, everybody in America can sign the Declaration of Independence. You can go onto the National Archive. You can print it out. You can add your John Hancock next to his. You can even make the kind of ink. We give them a recipe for the ink that was used to sign the Declaration. Or there's so many things. I talk about how Ben Franklin, you know, you can have a Philly cheesesteak dinner. You can read a book about Franklin. You can go onto the site of the Franklin Institute Institute in Philadelphia. You can do a science project. If your child has ingenuity, and that's very American too. We also describe the qualities of what makes an American, and ingenuity is certainly one of them. Scientific interest. There are many places where kids can learn how to do inventions, win prizes for inventiveness. There are so many things. If you say once a week, an hour a week, we're going to do something about America, it really would work. And with older kids who may be a harder sell, we suggest dinner table debates. You just once a week at a family dinner, talk about something. Ask them how they would define being an American. Ask them when they feel most American or most un-American. Talk about your own family history. All of us are pioneers or immigrants or brought here against our will. Let's trace our family history. Let's see how far we can go back. Even parents, the idea that kids should understand that parents lived in history, whether the parents grew up in the 60s or 70s or 80s, that was history too. Share that history with your kid. As I say, we have Patriot projects, places to go, books to read, movies. As I say, the book is a grab bag of red, white, and blue ideas, as well as a discussion of why it's hard to raise patriotic children.
So it doesn't take a fortune to raise a child who's a proud American. I mean, there's lots of different topics in this, lots of different suggestions in this book that really don't involve spending much money at all.
Not at all. You just need a library card or an interest in starting a library. You need to be able to borrow the DVDs or tapes. And if you have access to the Internet, and I think many people do, whether it's in the library or at home for many people, that's all it takes. It just shakes the idea that this is important to mom and dad. We're going to do this with you. Let's spend some time together. You know, kids want to be with their parents, certainly up through grade school. They want to share things. You remember the time you went to California, you went to sites in California with your parents. We all have memories when our parents did something that was related to the country. Many people told us about remembering going to the polls with their parents and how much that impressed them, and it impressed me when I was a child going to the polls. So there are many, many things you can do. It doesn't take a lot of money. It just takes kind of sharing the excitement of America with your children, and it's worth it.
Now, in the book, you mentioned a quote from Condoleezza Rice when she told the 9/11 Commission that we were attacked on 9/11 because of who we are.
That's right.
According to Myrna Blythe, who are we? What is the message that you want parents to transmit to their children about who Americans are?
Well, I think we talk about it in the book. We talk about the values that define us. And America is an idea first. Not a place. I mean, it is the great idea of democracy and opportunity. America has always been a lure to people because it proved that hard work and opportunity was here. We believe in a democratic idea. We believe in opportunity. We believe you achieve it through hard work. We believe in ingenuity, the American ingenuity. We have a dream. We're American dreamers, and that's very much part of America. We're believers, too. Being religious is very much a part of America, partly because of God and country, but also because religious people tend to be able to count their blessings, and they recognize the blessings in America. So those are kind of the basic cornerstones of America. The most patriotic people we found were immigrants who had shopped and compared and saw the value of America. And you just have to talk to an immigrant and say, tell me why you came here. What do you think of America? And you see the positive opportunity and the ability to dream and live that dream. The religious also, and God and country is intertwined in America. America is a far more religious country than most Western European, most other developed countries. They do count their blessings. They do see the beautiful gift often of America, and the military. That's important too to realize. The military do live by core values, and patriotism is one of their core values. So that's sort of a combination of, well, I've been awed working on the book by stories of people who really express the best of America and who have these values.
And I apologize for the phone ringing in the
background. That's all right. I'm afraid mine's going to ring too. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you talked about the Patriot Pledge. I kind of wanted to ask you about the Patriot Pledge. Tell us a little bit about that and how that fits in with what you're doing here.
Well, we ask parents to take a Patriot's Pledge. We ask them to, it's in the book. They can print it out. They can describe it to their kids. They can post it and sign it. And what the Patriot Pledge says, I will read it to you if you'd like.
Absolutely, please.
I recognize that parents are the most important role model for their children, and I will, through my actions, demonstrate the importance of patriotism. I believe by encouraging a love of country in my children, I will help them become the kind of informed and loyal citizens that America needs for our country's future. I will teach them about America's unique history and the deeply held beliefs on which this nation was founded. I will encourage their interests in the heroes of our past. I will strive to develop in them American characteristics such as idealism, tolerance, individualism, and courage. I will ask them to respect the symbols of our republic, such as the flag, the national anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, and the holidays that honor our past. And I will make patriotism an enriching, inspiring part of their lives. This is my pledge. And I really think if parents would print it out or copy it from the book, and we have a website going up this week that has the pledge on it, read it to their kids, sign it, talk about it. Pledges are important, and kids understand that. Boy Scouts do pledges. There's an honor pledge often in schools. Make that pledge to your kids, and they'll hold you to it. You know, Ronald Reagan, in his farewell address, talked about the patriotism was, he feared, eroding in America. And he said that the best thing that parents could do was talk to their kids about America. And he said, tomorrow night at the kitchen table, I hope the talking begins. And children, if your parents haven't been teaching you what it means to be an American, let them know and nail them on it. That would be a very American thing to do. Well, if you read the Patriot Pledge to your kids, tell them you're going to sign it. If you don't follow it, they'll nail you on it. And they'll love to nail you on it, because kids love to do that with their parents.
As a father, I agree with you.
Well, yes. As I say, they'll get involved in it. They'll want to do this. And, you know, kids like to belong to things. They want to belong to a family. They want to belong to a community. They want to belong to things bigger than themselves. They want to belong to the country. Make it easy for them. Make it fun for them. Make it part of their lives.
Now, do you plan on extending your work here past the book? Are you going to set up a website for it?
We are going to set up a website. We're in the process. One of my sons is doing it. That's part of what you have kids for. And I think it will start tomorrow. And on it, we will have a tip of the day. We will have a list of the movies and books that we really recommend. We will have ideas for dinner table debates. We'll have ideas for some of the projects. We'll have a variety of things on the site. And so I do hope people will go to it and get involved. You know, this is, as I say, the book is partly an explanation of why it is difficult to raise patriotic kids, and it is. We know it, and everyone sort of feels it. But it also is a way to make raising patriotic kids an important part of your life and something that you benefit from as a parent, and they benefit from, and the country benefits from. You know, President Kennedy said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Well, for parents, this is what they can do for their country. It's that simple and that important.
Now, this book goes on sale when?
It goes on sale on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Book sale dates are kind of, you know, soft, but it is yes. Published on Tuesday.
On Tuesday, on
now,
March.
How old are your you say you're a father. How old is your child or children?
My one son is 22 years old.
Oh,
he has a 4-year He has a 4-year-old daughter, and
right.
So I plan on giving a copy to them.
Right,
so
and I have
raise a patriotic American.
And I have a 2-year-old granddaughter, so I'm convinced my other son, who is a television set designer and working on the website as well, has a 2-year-old daughter. So I'm sure they will want to do it too with her. And it's interesting, even for very young children, there are books about America, and you can, you know, show them the flag, learn to identify symbols, do a whole bunch of things with them. The kids love craft projects, little kids, and we give them many craft projects, and there are many, many craft projects on the web that you can find and use and really enjoy with your kids.
Now, do you have a URL for the website yet? Have you?
I guess it's just www.howtoraiseanamerican.com. I think it will come up that way. But,
well, we will definitely link to that then.
All right, that would be great. And I will tell my son to make sure. And I am fairly computer competent, but I've been posting on my own site, and I can see it's really fun. I know why people do this, and I've been figuring that out. So that's been
beware. If you're obsessive at all, like I am, I think it will take all of your time at some point.
Well,
but it is a very, very fun thing to do.
Well, one of the fun things about this book was learning more, and we both my co-author and I, we were both shocked by some things. I mean, some things are kind of amazing that parents don't realize. For example, there's a lot of stuff that goes into the schools that parents may be really have no awareness of. I think my absolute favorite, it's sent out by nonprofit organizations, which people tend to think means non-political organizations, but of course we both know that's not true. But for example, something called the Middle East Policy Council sent into schools materials that once promoted the far-fetched idea that Muslims were the first to sail across the Atlantic and land in the New World, where they intermarried with Iroquois and Algonquin Indians. And in colonial times, European explorers met chiefs with names like Abdullah ibn Malik. Like, ho, really? Well, it's like a joke, but it was sent to the schools and I'm sure distributed in some classroom. It was removed when the Algonquins complained about such nonsense. But there are many programs that are sent in the schools by these organizations. Some are good, you know, some are, you know, a Library of Congress piece about George Washington that can be downloaded is fine. But some have very political messages, and parents should be aware of that. So the book gives you advice on finding things like that out. At the same time, it gives you lots of advice for you to be able to be the person who really teaches your children about loving America, about being proud of America, about being, you know, really part of a generation that's really going to be very important to the future of America.
Well, I think one of the reasons why you want to make sure that you are discussing history with your children is to sort of inoculate them against that type of historical revisionism. I mean, there's all sorts of that going on. You know, if you're not talking to your children about how things, you know, about real history, then they're going to be susceptible to anybody who puts out a press release in four-color print.
Right.
Like you just described.
Even if it's in the classroom, even if it's a teacher. You know, Ben Stein, who wrote a book about the very liberal college, the experience of going to college and having professors who really gave a points of view that he didn't agree with. I was at a meeting with him once, and somebody said, well, what do you do if your kid goes to college and hears this? And he said, well, by the time he goes to college, it's too late. You really have to teach your kids what you want them to believe, what they should believe, before they go to college. Because once, if you've done nothing and then they go to college and often hear very liberal bias or very slanted bias, it may be too late. It may be too late. So you've really got to prepare them in advance. You've got to teach them what you want them to believe, and teach them what's fair to believe about this country. You know, there are so many wonderful things. As I say, we are an idea. My husband just became an American citizen last year. He's British. He's a British journalist, and he always felt he should stay British because he reported for England, but in the last year or two, he felt differently. Well, one, He had to take the citizenship test, which is much harder. What I found very amusing was sitting around dinner tables with people who are constantly bashing America, who could not answer some of the questions that immigrants are made to answer, and many people even criticize the test as too shallow as it is. But let me tell you, very few people can name the 13 original colonies. Even more than that, just going to the ceremony was so inspiring. Where citizens are sworn in, where people are sworn in. It was just marvelous. And even though my husband, who is British and said he did not want any fuss, when we got home, he raised the flag. And my son got him another flag to raise that had flown over the Capitol on the day he became a citizen, which is something everyone can do. You can write your congressman and senator and say, I would like one of the flags that flown over the Capitol, maybe on a special day, or I simply want one, and have that as your own flag. I mean, that's one wonderful thing to do with kids. So when they fly the flag on 4th of July, they'll have a flag that flew over the U.S. Capitol.
That's a wonderful idea. Actually, yes. I might do that myself.
Absolutely. I mean, there are tons of things you can do like that. And, you know, as I say, there are so many things. You have boys who are interested in battles. Well, you can walk the fields of Gettysburg on the web or go to a reenactment or read a book about it or watch a movie about it or play it out in figures or play a game about it. Just so many things. I mean, we were awed by the amount of material, and that was part of our interest, to really make people think about it, get it out. As I say, the book is, for some people, we think it's going to be a wake-up call. For some people, I think they recognize that there is a problem, so it's going to be a great resource manual. And that's what we wanted, both to make people aware of the problems and make them aware that they could do something about it.
Myrna Blythe, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today. Well, the book is How to Raise an American, 1776 Fun and Easy Tools, Tips, and Activities to Help Your Child Love This Country. It'll be linked at my website as soon as it goes on sale. Actually, you can probably pre-order it at this point in time.
I think
And make sure that make sure you do. It's a great. It looks like a great little fun book to, for the entire family. And thank you again.
Right, and a great gift. I think a great gift to give someone. And you know, Mother's Day is coming. I know. I'm serious. I really think the book is wonderful to have, and an appropriate gift book for somebody else who you know shares your beliefs, or you want them to understand how important it is for today's parents to raise the next greatest generation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be looking for that website when it comes up.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.